Hello, everyone. This is Jerry Lynn Ward and Roger Oliver, and we're back for another episode of Justice in His Kingdom. And we're really pleased to have Pastor Matt Trujillo here to talk about some of the issues that are occurring right now. Matt is the pastor of Mercy Seat Church in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And Matt, thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, good to be here with you, Jerry.
Would you tell the audience something about yourself besides the fact that you are a pastor?
Sure, yeah. I'm 59 years old. I've been married to my wife, Clara, for 38 years. We have 11 children together, 6 daughters, 5 sons. 6 of them are married now, and we have 22 grandchildren. So, yeah, we have a great family life. We love each other. Amazing, right? We have a mission that we run here called Missionaries to the Preborn. When we began, there were 8 death camps here in the city of Milwaukee. Thanks be to God, there's only 2 left now. Abortion has dropped by nearly 70%, 70, in our state since we began back in 1990. And I've authored a book called The Doctrine of the Lesser Magistrate that has sold tens of thousands of copies and really taken off and has really shifted the paradigm on a lot of people regarding their view of politics.
And that's something that I think really dovetails into exactly the kinds of things we're going to be talking about in this podcast. So I'm going to let Roger start out. He has some really good questions for you.
Now, first of all, what I'd like to ask you is, what is the biblical principle of quarantine as opposed to this, what we're doing, the lockdown worldwide?
Yeah, the biblical mandate is for you quarantine the sick, not the whole of society. And that's why I was immediately alarmed as a churchman who doesn't sit in the ivory tower all the time and is actually involved out in the marketplace with the magistrates and contending with evil and tyrants and idols. I was immediately alarmed when I saw this whole shutdown take place where they're telling you to stay in your homes. That should immediately concern you because the government is in a much better position than to pick you off one by one. The people can't assemble. It's much easier for them to control you, maintain you, oppress you. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'm 59 years old. I'm pretty studied in history. This was insane to me that they're going to quarantine the whole of society rather than just quarantine the sick.
So let me interject something here. In Texas, our emergency code allows for area quarantines. And I bet that's true in a lot of states because, you know, the states use model legislation a lot of times that comes out of, I think it's the some kind of group that actually writes legislation for state governments. And it allows quarantining entire areas. But I don't think that quarantine, as it has ever been used, meant locking people in their houses. It merely meant preventing travel between areas. Would that be, is that even biblical in your estimation to prevent travel from area to area as a quarantine?
Well, certain areas, like stay away from the sick, wherever they're quarantined, you know, don't be traveling in there and then traveling all over the place, so to speak. But yeah, there's nothing directly that I can think of in scripture itself in that regard. What we do is we take the sick and we move them away from the rest of the population. And it's amazing how people usually are able to figure that out without the government telling them, you know? Yeah. And so that right there should make you suspicious when there's these types of draconian measures taken to make sure that the economy is completely suppressed, that you're kept in your home as much as possible, and that life as we know it comes to a grinding halt. That should concern us. Yeah. So what I see in Leviticus 13 is that when people are sick, you quarantine them. You couldn't be quarantined just on an allegation either. Mm-hmm. In God's law, it had to be proven that you were sick. This whole idea about testing should concern us, that they want to test everyone in the world. And of course, we know ultimately what they want is to vaccinate everybody in the entire world, which of course is an attack upon self-government and attack upon family government, by state government, and it should not be tolerated by Christian people.
Mm-hmm.
In God's law also, the goodness of his law was that you quarantine the sick, not the whole of society, so you didn't destroy everyone else. You didn't attack everyone else's freedoms.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a goodness in that it protected the ones who were thought to be sick, mm-hmm. that there was a process to determine they are sick before they were quarantined. And there was a goodness that it didn't abridge everyone else's freedoms in society and destroy the economy like this man-made evil quarantine that they're doing right now. And they're not done, even though it's been proven that they've made a molehill into a mountain. Their whole narrative has been proven to be built on a mountain of lies. They still continue to move forward with it because it's not about the virus.
Mm-hmm.
It's about control, manipulation, yeah. conditioning of the people. And what sickens me most of all, Roger and Jerry, is the silence of the churchmen, because I am a churchman, and it's amazing how almost all of them in lockstep talk about Romans 13 and have obeyed this whole idea of, yeah, we should follow this crazy quarantine.
Yeah. My take is, and I can't make a case from the Bible for an area quarantine, and the principle is to keep society functioning and to take care of the sick. And to me, I coined a phrase that this is not the lockdown is not a quarantine. It's medical martial law.
Hmm. I got the term.
Yeah. I have another question. There is a principle in those passages where, let's say a person touches a dead person and he touches another dead person. They both have to stay their incubation period. So there's an argument for a contaminated person.
Hmm.
If you know that you've been contaminated, let the thing incubate and then go back out into society. That's common sense, and that's part of the law as well. How do we answer the argument that, well, with coronavirus, you can be contagious and not know it and not have any symptoms? So everybody has to stay in the house. To me, it goes back to your point about how proving it, that you have to be able, you have to show symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
There's a tunnel vision here as well. It's one issue, and on purpose, I think you're right, on purpose. But how would you answer that allegation that you may not know that you're contagious and so everybody has to stay in the house?
Yeah, that's just the lack of knowledge. In any viral situation, any situation where you have a virus of any kind, there's going to be lots of people who are exposed to it who never show symptoms. They don't get sick. Usually that's the majority of people. Then there's a huge number of people who do get sick.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's a smaller number of people who end up needing to be hospitalized. And then there's a few people, I'm talking about comparatively speaking,
mm-hmm.
because if you want to go with the numbers of COVID-19 deaths, which of course have been bloated by the way they're recording these deaths,
mm-hmm.
then compare that to like vehicular deaths. So we better all stop driving vehicles. You know, it's an absurdity. And so there are very few deaths, but that's how life goes. And that's how things work. And we all die. So, that's in Christ's hand, in the Lord's hand.
Well, I heard somebody mention, what are the total deaths from all causes
mm-hmm.
this year, the previous year, and the previous year? So we can actually make a comparison that makes sense. This insane comparison to the deaths in Vietnam and all that nonsense. That's propaganda. That was planned and it's hostile. But the question is, how do we answer the allegation that, well, you don't know for sure that you might be a contaminant to other people and put other people at risk, therefore stay at home? It's related to your thing about not having knowledge and living by what God has told you to do, not having to have perfect knowledge. We don't know what tomorrow brings, but you're supposed to obey, and there's a reason behind it. Even people that say, well, the laws in the Bible, and they're not based on science. Oh, yes, they are, because they were given by the one who invented what we study with science.
Yes.
So I have an answer to it, but I think you gave it, but.
Yeah, that is my answer, is that where you mm-hmm. always have asymptomatic people. This is just crazy that they're now using that as an excuse for keeping everyone contained and that they're wanting everyone to be tested. And then, of course, we know the end game, it's been reported on repeatedly, even in the major press, is to vaccinate everybody on the planet, all 7 billion people. That's mm-hmm. their end game. That yeah. should bother us.
Mm-hmm. If I could interject something here, what y'all essentially have been talking about is due process before you quarantine an individual. But I would posit that the whole reason they are doing what they probably will term an area quarantine is to avoid any kind of due process, because in every statute, in every state statutes, there are provisions for due process before you can isolate someone and quarantine them away from people. And of course, in the Bible, I guess they were priests, would go out and check the person every yeah. day.
Yes.
And so they had their own kind of due process. Yeah. But here,
separation of powers too.
Yeah. But here they do not have to give you due process for area quarantines. And I posit that this is the reason they're doing it in that manner.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yep.
Yeah. So, and yeah, you know, to me, one of the things people should look into, like here in our state, we have a situation that where if they declare a certain kind of emergency here, under state mandate, they can vaccinate you under force of law. And I bet that's on most of the books in most of the states. And I'll guarantee you who got it there. It was Big Pharma who got it there, who have huge amounts of money and want everyone to get vaccinated. As Christian people, we need to address that and we need to oppose that. Let me tell you what's happening here in Wisconsin. On March 3rd, we killed a bill that would have mandatorily, by force of the state, caused every child in the government school system to be vaccinated. We killed that on March 3rd. Then comes the coronavirus immediately after that. It was sprouting at that time. They've resurrected it. They're calling a special meeting coming this Tuesday to try to pass that rule change, is what it is, so that they can, under force of the state, vaccinate every government school child in the state of Wisconsin. And of course, you know, they're not going to be done there. Just like in California, they'll move on from there and make even the homeschoolers get vaccinated and everybody on the planet. Again, God has established four great governments: self-government, family government, church government, and civil government. All of them have their own role, function, and limits. And so it's important when we see the state government invading self-government and invading family government, telling us what's going to be put into our children's bodies, that we as Christian people resist that, oppose that, and not allow that evil to continue in our land.
Since we're talking about vaccinations and force mandatory vaccinations, the state governments are basing that on a Supreme Court case that came out at the beginning of the 1900s, the Jacobson case. But even in that case, they couldn't forcibly vaccinate him. They could just fine him. But now that line of cases is being used to try to justify this. And I want to get your take on this, Matt. In Texas, when the governor shut down some medical procedures, and there was the big fight over whether or not he could shut down the abortion clinics, I went and looked at the pleadings and the petitions and all that, and the state was using the Jacobson case. And wow. The Fifth Circuit came out with what I thought was an awful opinion that had an immediate effect on doctors who treat other types of illness. The Texas Medical Board is now going after a doctor for fixing a dislocated fracture. And so the Fifth Circuit came out with a horrible case. But I think that this is the kind of thing that comes out of leaders who will not stand for abolishing abortion and comes from picking at the edges. And so now our governor gets to strut around saying how pro-life I am without really doing anything except a temporary measure that also messes up other things and comes out with a bad decision that will be used wrongly in the future. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I've watched the usual thing the pro-life groups do. Oh, COVID-19, isn't it great? We've shut down abortion clinics. And I run into people who are, you know, surface on matters, who, you know, think all the abortion clinics are closed down around the country right now because of how much the pro-life movement has said, oh, the abortion clinics are closed down. COVID-19 ain't that bad. And we should be glad about this. And I'm thinking to myself, there's only three states that did it in the whole country. And none of them that I'm aware of have upheld it, including Texas, where even Thomas More had to recently come into Fort Worth because they were still murdering babies at the Planned Parenthood there. And Governor Abbott wouldn't do anything about it. And so here's this private Christian legal group trying to force the state to do their duty and shut down this death camp, which they said was going to be shut down during COVID. No, we should just do what's right to begin with. We should uphold our state statutes that criminalize abortion and write better ones so that the preborn have equal protection and the slaughter ends in our nation. This whole idea of being beholden to SCOTUS is utter nonsense. Our founders established a true federalism. In a true federalism, you have multiple levels of government, multiple branches at each level, so that if any one branch begins to play the tyrant, the other branches will resist that branch, will check that branch in their evil. That is massively important. Our founders did not throw off a monarchy to replace it with an oligarchy, like the nine men and women sitting on the Supreme Court. They must check the evil that's going on. Our founders wanted it that way because they had a Christian view of the nature of man that he's wicked and he's in need of a savior. And so this is why we have checks and balances in government. So it's extremely important that action is taken. And again, I can't beat up on my fellow churchmen enough regarding this matter of abortion. We had a mother from our church, for example, who went down to the death camp after the order came down that you can't go out. She went there with her nine children, was accosted by the police, threatened with arrest. And I sat there and I said to people, do you think the churchmen will come to the defense of this mother? And the answer, of course, is no, because they've never come to defense to the little preborn babies that she was out there to speak up on behalf of. And think of this. They're the same churchmen who have decided to allow the state to bar entrance to their churches under these quarantine stay-at-home orders without a fight nearly anywhere. Just a handful of quote-unquote churchmen have taken a stand. The vast, vast majority. And think about that. The history of Christianity has been one where the churchmen barred the state from entering the churches. You have Ambrose not allowing the Roman Emperor Theodosius to enter the church till he repented of his gross injustice and evil, which he had committed. You also have the story of John Chrysostom, who, when Eutropius, who was the second in all of the Roman Empire in authority, came under the bad auspices of the emperor and fled to John Chrysostom's church, John Chrysostom did not allow the state to enter the church to do anything to Eutropius. He was safe inside the church. They were defending the authority of church government. They were defending righteousness. You look at Pierre Verret ran into trouble numerous times because he refused to go along with what the magistrates were doing when they were invading church government. But here we have in our day, the churchmen not barring the state from entering the church buildings. Rather, we have the state barring the churchmen from entering the church buildings, and they all go along with it. That is crazy. If they would have taken leadership and stood in resistance and interposition against the evil of what the magistrates are doing here, it would have helped the businessmen out, who, of course, all have to be licensed by the state, which is another topic, They're fearful to do anything because they know they need that licensing or they're done forever. Think how much better it would have helped them out, helped all of society, would have honored Christ and drawn men to Christianity and to Jesus had the churchmen stood. Instead, we have this whoredom and traitorism going on.
Yeah. I wrote a prayer this morning and posted on Facebook to thanking God for the COVID-19 crisis because it has revealed how far his people have drifted from him. And it's time to repent and to again be a force for liberty and against evil. Just for a beat, to go back to the vaccines, Jerry Lynn, you posted an article by Lou Rockwell that had some instructions about how you can at least try to previous to the imposition to have the forms filled out to file that you will not submit to it. That might be something good to share with our listeners later, if we can, when you post the podcast. I thought I've got that thing on my on my list to look at. It makes common sense that the vulnerable should be protected as well, though I don't see that exactly, but we just directly in this, in the quarantine laws, but I do see that in the rules in the Bible about respecting your elders. Now, I ignore it. For one thing, it's me and my life, and I'm not going to contaminate other people, but supposedly I'm vulnerable. I'm 71. So, and I'm offended, frankly, that the whole society and the young people can't go to work just to protect me. I mean, that just makes me irate. Yeah. But anyway, does that make sense in terms of saying, okay, if you're an older person, you're vulnerable, stay at home. You probably should stay at home, but it still give them the liberty to make that decision themselves. Am I off base?
No, I totally agree with that. And that's what we always have done. Like, we have elderly people in our church. We have immune compromised people who attend our church. And when things are going around, you know, during the wintertime, flu and whatever, we know people in the church are getting it. Else, we might not see them for 4 or 5 weeks. Yeah. They know I'm going to stay away during this time. And again, that's their decision to make. Mm-hmm. And most people have enough sense to know where they're at and their physical capacities to make that decision themselves. This should not be an edict of the state trying to impose that upon people.
Well, let me say something here, because this expression of care for older folks that these bureaucrats are putting out are hypocritical on their face.
It's funny as a $3 bill.
If you look at Obamacare, you look at the writings of Dr. Emanuel Rahm's brother, their whole focus has been essentially, I would call it, about culling the herd and denying health medical care to older folks in order to save money. Of course, we've set up a system that makes that incentivizes that, because we can't really afford it the way that it's working. But it's hypocrisy. In New York, they forced the hospitals to discharge elderly people with COVID-19 virus up into nursing homes. Mm-hmm. They actually put infected people into nursing homes. Yep. Where others in those homes can get infected, because nursing homes have pretty good infection control. At least they have policies for good infection control. But to dump people purposely with the disease into those homes, right, I thought was madness, and shows the face of their hypocrisy.
I totally agree.
I read that some of these homes were not managed well, and that's where a good portion of the deaths happened. The one in where Costco has their headquarters, there was one there that was terribly managed. And that's where most of the deaths in the state of Washington happened. So there's two sides to that coin.
That's a good point. And Costco, who wants to, on Monday coming up here, force everyone to wear a mask, which even the dopes at the WHO have said you shouldn't do. And our Surgeon General has adamantly again today tried to plead with people to quit wearing these dopey masks. You know, and it's just like... It just goes on and on. I'll tell you what, before you go on, I
had
four churchmen demand that I publicly repent for my lack of love for the elderly, as you were talking about earlier, Roger. And, you know, because I'm not going along with this whole quarantine narrative. I've learned that a virus is the perfect narrative for a tyrant. That's what I've learned in this whole situation. But when they sit there and they tell me, they're just like the leftist, these pastors. Oh, you lack love. Of course, mind you, most of these are the same type of ministers who never, ever have done anything for their preborn neighbor, you know, who is being murdered constantly.
They really don't care about their parishioners who aren't working and can't feed themselves.
Yeah. Exactly. And I bring that out. Where's the love for them? All the businessmen, all the employees that are suffering now because of these things, or the others that are being taught to imbibe at the teat of the state because they're actually getting more money now, not working, than they were working. What is the state teaching people there? We know what they're teaching people there. But here's the thing about this whole love thing. And I've run into tons of leftists since this has come up, and the pastors talk just like the leftists. Mm-hmm. You know, they use compassion as a tool for tyranny is what they are doing. You don't care about people. You don't love people. What does that make people feel like? Well, I know what it makes me feel like. I know you're a leftist dog and you're a scumbag. And I mean, you revealed yourself to me. But I know what it does to most people. They're like, oh, well, I don't want to appear unloving. You know, so they're actually manipulated by the leftist, who the pastors are now acting just like them, using compassion, quote unquote, to bully people into their leftist status policies.
So so let's tie that into another question I had. It's just, you got to be whistling in the dark not to see this as a judgment from God.
Yeah.
And I think of David's case where he did the census and he chose 3 days of a plague that killed 70,000 people and it went away. There's pretty good evidence that this thing goes away in 2 weeks, 2 to 8 weeks. Anyway, it's going to do its thing, whether you quarantine, where you put everybody and lock everybody up or not. Mm-hmm. And, but there's going to be an accusation, well, that's blaming God for what you can't figure out. And that's mythology and that's callous. And you just really don't care about people. And it, and of course my objection to, 40 years ago or whatever it was, the AIDS thing, you know, invested billions of dollars in, ameliorating the consequences of sin while we let other people die. Not investing anything in other things. It's not that we don't care about them, but how would your response be to that? The accusation that if you feel like it's God's judgment, you're not going to be motivated to do anything about alleviating the suffering, which is an absolute lie. But how would you respond to that?
It is an absolute lie. And to me, this is the judgment. The judgment is the actions of the state. That's the judgment. Yeah. The virus is a nothing that they've made into something for their own means and their own statist ends. But I'll tell you this, what a fitting judgment upon our nation, because we live in a statist hell. Not only have the people given the state the place of God, but the churchmen have given the state the place of God. And they've done so for decades. And so here's God using the very idol that we've created in this country. The idolatry of our age is statism. He's using the state to stick it in our face. Oh, you want the state? You're going to see what a taskmaster they really are. You're
going to have the book of Judges.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's, he's made all our leaders a bunch of nut jobs. That's our punishment.
Right.
I expect to see him out in the field eating grass pretty soon.
Yes.
Psychopaths. Well, I'm going to throw out make a statement, and I'm going to let you run with it. 6 days thou shalt work. Fit that into this whole no closing down the economy and the immorality of that, the injustice of it. People with business open their business. Once again, denied due process. Run with that.
Yeah, well, I've seen them violate the law of God in so many areas regarding this matter. They're lying, number one. They're bearing false witness about so much about this virus. That's a violation of God's law. Also, the law that God has regarding unjust weights and measures, this whole printing of more fiat money is just more unjust weights and measures. And this whole matter of work is hugely important. You go to the garden there in the book of Genesis. Work is something God gave to us. Work wasn't part of the curse.
No.
Adam was ordered before the fall to keep the garden, to tend it and to keep it. Work was already part of his demeanor. So the fall just made it, okay, your work's going to not produce what it should have produced. It's going to be thorns and thistles. And you're going to have to toil harder and all that kind of thing. Work is something man is designed to do by God. It is a God-given thing. That's why I've refused to ever get my children, when they're 16, 17, 15 years old, permission from the state to work. I think that's absolutely evil. You should not need permission from the state to work. But this again goes back to how much statism they've implemented over the last several decades, over the last 100 years, is people more readily embrace that. So they just think, oh, yeah, well, I guess the state can tell me if I can work or not. Most of them did go down and get their permission from the state to work when they were 15, 16, 17 years old. It's an absurdity. You have not only a right to work, you have a duty to work. It's what God's given us. He condemns laziness and sluggard activity throughout his word. And here's the state emphatically teaching people to be lazy. I've already talked to employers who want to bring back some of their workers who don't want to come back because they're making more money not working than they were working because of all the government money that was printed and they've given to everybody, which of course is meant to make them docile to go along with the tyranny that they're imposing upon the people that the people are too stupid to see because the ministers are silent and aren't speaking. You know, it's like aren't giving people a biblical worldview. For this manner of work that you can't provide for your family, that you can't put food on their table. And then the ministers are castigating people. Oh, you shouldn't act all riled up and have those protests and everything while they're sitting there. And you know, I'm a churchman, right? They're sitting in their leisure and luxury and their money and their little things that they've all accrued over the years. Their, you know, pay isn't in jeopardy right now. Mm-hmm. Putting food on their family's table isn't in jeopardy right now. It might be 6 months from now. It might be 2 years from now because there's going to be awful consequences for what we've done here in the trillions of dollars that we put, which is, of course, is designed to further control the people through damaging the economy. That's the goal of a statist, control of the people. If you ever watch that little movie, I have a lot of kids, you know, An Ant's Life. The little crazy locust guy, I forget his name now, who's, you know, beating up on all the little ants, finally tells the other locusts, it's not about the food. It's about controlling those little ants. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's what it is to the statist. Mm-hmm. He doesn't care about anything except controlling other people's lives. And behind it all are these filthy, rich billionaires who gather together and want to impose this vaccination on the entire populace and restructure the global economy.
Have you followed the salon owner in Texas, Shelley Luther, who has been standing up to the government and the shutdown orders? And now she's been served with a TRO. Well, when she went to work, a bunch of patriots, I would call them, armed patriots, stood guard outside her door.
Wow.
So, to go in there and drag her out.
Right. No, that is so encouraging to hear. And I'll tell you what, when we had this massive protest 8 days ago here in Wisconsin over at our Capitol, of course, the media said there were either hundreds. The most I saw any of them say 1,500. I'm telling you, I've been around crowds all my life. There were well over 5,000 people there.
Easily. Wow.
And there were quite a few people there with guns. And everyone who was out there with their rifles or open carrying with their pistols, I make sure I go as a minister up to every one of them, shake their hand and thank them for being there and for doing what they're doing, showing those arms openly, because I know they get flack from people for doing that. And they did even get flack from people who were gathered there because they thought they were hurting their image in the sight of the media. And I try to explain to people, once you do what you do based on how the media is going to portray you, you've already lost the fight The media is always going to misportray you. The media makes wicked people look good and good people look wicked. That's how the media always has run things. Let's just do what's right in the sight of Christ and leave the results with him.
Yeah, I think the media is a propaganda organ. It's not a news organ. If it ever was. Mm-hmm. This, I notice here in Mexico, and I hear in the United States as well, the big box stores are open. The pharmacies are open. But you got this arbitrary essential, non-essential thing and going on. Our little place where we go buy eggs and chicken and all that. And I love to hear the people in there talking to each other. And we walk by and say hello. It seems to me to be, if it was true what they're saying about the virus, it would be better to spread out and go to a bunch of small businesses than to crowd into Walmart. What in the world? What's your take on that? Yes, it's another one of those things where the state should keep its hands off the economy and off of free commerce. That's a joyful sound to me of people buying and selling stuff. But what are they up to? It's absolutely unbiblical what they're doing, but it seems to fit in this whole narrative. You go down to Walmart and get a free vaccination or something. I don't know.
Right. Well, I'm preaching through the book of Acts right now. And by the way, it's amazing how much the disciples ran into the magistrates, you know, and Paul spent the last several years of his life mostly around magistrates, instructing them in the things of God and his word. The book I did before that was the book of Micah. I preached through the book of Micah, and Micah even addressed this. He went to the capitals because that's where all the corruption came spewing forth from. And he particularly addressed the churchmen of his day, but he also addressed the businessmen, the rich people, and the magistrates of his day. I go to our state house, which I affectionately refer to as the whorehouse, because it doesn't take long to realize the only thing that makes the thing move there is money. It isn't anything about right or wrong. It's all about money, money, money. And even the Christian men who are there will sell themselves out in a heartbeat, never do what they need to do, like for their preborn neighbor as an example, because they get annexed to the whole thing. And so here's Micah addressing the businessmen and the magistrates together. Why? Because they work in cahoots together. And you look at the corporations that are still open that you were mentioning, Roger, you know, they are the ones who foment so much evil in the land, like homosexuality, you know, and the whole evil of Planned Parenthood and things like that. They foist those things. They promote that killing of the preborn. They promote the perversion of homosex and other evils. And the magistrates are letting them stay open, I believe, precisely because of the money, you know, so the little guys are shut down and are getting destroyed. Meanwhile, and I know this for a fact, here in our state house in Wisconsin, the corporations and big companies that are open are working in cahoots with the Republicans and Democrats to bring in a whole host of new laws and regulations, which won't really harm the corporations and big companies, but will be an utter burden upon the small businesses and will further invade our familial affairs, our lives as people also. That's the type of evil that's going on. That's what the churchmen should be decrying and denouncing, but rather they'd like to beat up on Matruella and say, you need to repent because you don't have love for elderly. How stupid can you be? But that's the condition we're in right now. So that's what I believe is going on. We have this company here in Wisconsin and throughout the Midwest called Menards. It's a huge building supply company. They strolled out this thing last week to make everyone wear a mask to go into their store. I ended up in a huge shootout, you know, built a little brush fire, had a little lecture to give to the people standing there like folks lining up to get their masks and all that, had choice words to say to the security guard, the manager, and everybody else, and then left. Like, I don't do business with So John Menard, he's the type of guy who owns it. He's the guy who gives money to the Democrats, gives money to the Republicans. So what John Menard cares about is John Menard, you know, and what he has, what he gets out of everything. So while these other businesses are shut down, his business is still open, right? And here he is parlaying through the Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce Group to get all these new regulations and laws brought in. The Republicans, of course, speak against our Democratic governor publicly, but privately, they are doing everything to continue. We'll end up with the half measures, with the compromises. That's all in the bag already. And you try to tell people these things, and they're dumb as a box of rocks. They wave their little Republican flag, you know, and live in their little fantasy world. It's like, look, you can be a Republican and still browbeat them when they do wrong, right? So you don't have to, you know. Isn't our fealty as Christian men to be to Christ first and no other, you know? So let's be true to Christ, true to our neighbor, and end this nonsense of just going along to get along with your little dopey Republican Party.
Yeah, I think I was listening to Rush Dooney the other day, and it dawned on me, these leaders of these huge corporations with billions of dollars are social Darwinists, and they think they're on top of the heap because they have so much more money, so they can remake the world in their image, and that's exactly what they're doing. And so there's a good book called The Myth of the Robber Barons. It talks about the political capitalist versus the free market capitalist and the political capitalist, we still have them around, invest in influencing the government to use the power of the government against their competition. And there's a whole move to force us into online and a whole bunch. Well, there's all kinds of conspiracy theories. Who knows? What I want to know is who's saying what, who is the enemy and what is he saying? And how do we go get him? People like Bill Gates, you know, it's just follow the money and all those people. Who cares who has the power? If it's Fauci or Bill Gates, they're both on the same track and they got to be stopped. And like you say, you probably hear out of most pulpits is be safe.
Right. Exactly. Yep.
So, anyway, that's what's happening here, too. Fortunately, the little market where we buy eggs and chicken and stuff, they're there and they're Catholics. But they always love to see us come and you love to see your neighbors there and all of that's going to be cool. Boy, I tell you what, that's as joyful as children playing in the park with their parents, but it's the silence is deafening.
Yeah. And then you look at how people are suffering so much worse around the world than we are here. Yeah. We have a missionary in India. You're staying in your home and you will be beaten with sticks if you come out.
Yeah, I've seen
I have a friend in Panama and they are starving there in Panama. He sent me video footage he took himself of people rioting and burning tires in the streets because of all that's happening there. Of course, all of this is silenced out by the media because it doesn't fit their narrative. You don't see these things. You have to either be sent them by someone and look in or look deeply into them to find them. It's very evil what has gone on here. And it's really exposed, like what you had mentioned before, that the media really acts as a propaganda tool rather than as anything that wants to actually report what's actually going on. Mm-hmm. We've had Facebook posts and our YouTube posts removed at defytyrants.com simply because of us telling the truth. So these big groups, social networking groups, are in cahoots with the elitists, with our government. When you look at Event 201, which I encourage everyone to go to YouTube and watch, which took place on October of 2019 in New York City. If you watch segment number 4 on communications there, these are the elitists, the globalists, World Economic Foundation, Bill Gates, Michael Bloomberg, all them dogs. And you watch their simulation of a pandemic virus, a coronavirus, which starts in Wuhan, China, you know, and all that they're saying there, they talk about in their simulation about silencing what they label as misinformation. So the elitists get to decide what is misinformation. And then if you're viewed as dispensing it, you are removed. So like everything Ron Paul has published gets grayscaled on my Facebook posts. And you're directed to the CDC or the WHO, you know, and all these groups in order to get truth, right? And yet still, the churchmen sleep. People are still blind as dope. And it's like, don't you see what's happening here? Evil is afoot. Mm-hmm. And as Christian people, we must confront it and give people truth. And as you do that, I can testify already, we've had all kinds of people join into our church sermons now, you know, last 2 weeks, I've just gone through Acts, you know, but I did 3 sermons on COVID-19. They actually see that we have understanding, that we're taking a stand, that we're talking right. And some of these people aren't even Christian people. And now they're all around us Christian people. Some of them, you know, were very surface in their Christian faith and they're being deepened in their Christian faith. Because why? Because we're being faithful to Jesus. That's right. What's important.
Well, talking to the parents in the school is to calm down how we've decided to handle this because they closed the school here, but we're not a school. We are a Christian parent education cooperative. And so we've done things to fly under the radar and we explained to them what our view of the scriptural rules of quarantine is. So it's been an opportunity. I was went to get a haircut the other day and that opened the door. Everybody in the barbershop was listening to me pontificate about what's wrong with this. So, you know, there's just opportunity on top of opportunity. We got to take advantage of. My take on this is sure, there's going to be a new normal, but it's going to be more Christian eventually.
Yeah, I agree with you on that too.
It's going to collapse. Yeah. It's not sustainable.
Yep. Here's like, you know, sure.
One thing, going back to the people around the world starving, I read some articles about India and heard some podcasts about the fact that a great majority, or at least a goodly number of Indians, they subsist. They work, they get money, they go home and buy food. If they don't get to work the next day, they don't get to buy food. And I read some other articles about the president getting grants and, you know, tied to having these measures against the Indian people, and also threats and bribes by the World Bank. So I think that these other countries that are following in the stupid footsteps of our leaders are being blackmailed in some way to do it.
What do
you think about that?
I agree that could very well be the case. I know that our government has done that in the past with some of the Caribbean countries regarding abortion, that they will pull, and some of the Central American countries, that they will pull their money if they don't push abortion and push homosex. So that's a very likely scenario. And of course, we know that the big groups are all, you know, encumbered by these billionaires who want to impose their Christ-hating worldview on the nations of the earth. We know that for a fact. Even Lindsey Graham, like a ding-dong, was sitting there the other day saying, yeah, we need to get rid of whatever, can't ever pronounce that guy's name, who heads up the WHO, you know, the terrorist guy.
Yeah.
Who's not a doctor. And he heads it up. Lindsey Graham was promoted making Bill Gates the head of the WHO, which, by the way, Bill Gates is the second biggest contributor to the WHO, only after the United States. He gives millions upon millions to them. And could you imagine? Yeah, let's put another non-doctor at the head of the WHO and a guy who wants to tyrannize the entire world with his vaccination plan. Here's a good idea. How about we get out of the United Nations and see that whole operation just go defunct? You know,
there's about the hunger thing. Bill Gates has talked about how Africans are not going to be able to feed themselves. Well, who says? Why is it his business? Proverbs 13:23 says there is abundant food in the field of the poor, but it is swept away by injustice. The reason they're starving is not because they don't know how to raise food. It's because of injustice.
Yes.
These long supply lines now are wrecking ours because we've closed and made it difficult, almost impossible, to have a local slaughterhouse like we used to in the old days. We're going to have to go back to that, or we are going to starve.
Yeah.
Do you guys think that if we had true free markets, biblical free markets, that there would even be billionaires and huge mega corporations in existence?
Good question.
That is a good question. I think it always just tends to go that way anyway. One of my thoughts with all this thing is, did you notice that all the movements to decentralize around the world are now gone? And I think the globalists, who are the billionaires, you know, wanted to wreak havoc on economies, not just ours, it's going on all over the world, wanted to wreak havoc because they were seeing these movements towards decentralization and truly free markets. And they want to keep the monopoly that they have. And so, and do you notice you don't hear about Brexit? You don't hear about any of this stuff anymore.
Oh, yeah.
Trump, who is even talking about these kind of things, looks like he's a mummy. He doesn't even look like the same person anymore. And he's done so many awful things since this all began, and even aided and abetted all these awful things that are happening. And I mean, it was a win-win-win for the billionaires in this whole situation that's happened here.
Well, on the corporate thing, I have to think about that, but there's one issue regardless, is the error or the sin of limited liability. Mm-hmm. That's why they get away with, and it's so far extended that the people who sell vaccines are protected from suits.
Yep.
And even so, there's a court, a U.S. court, that deals with that, that it pays out something like $4 billion a year, some unbelievable amount of money for vaccine cases of vaccine damage caused by vaccines.
Yeah. In fact, I read an article and posted it recently, how while this is all going on, Congress is considering a bill to remove the number one reason for those damages that are paid out, removing that from that list of payouts while all this is going on. While they want to create more vaccines and impose them through the arm of the state, through the boot of the state on people, which of course is going to make the billionaires billions of dollars, you know, here they are doing the bidding of the wealthy men and trying to remove that from that fund that you're talking about, Roger.
Yeah. Well, and it's shuts the door to real science, because you're not allowed to even consider that there might be other theories or other ways of looking at this. So it's called science, but it's really the mythology of science, and it's being used to deny us justice.
Yeah. And so many, well, I shouldn't say so many, because most men are just silent and look out for themselves. But there's been many experts, scientists, health professionals, doctors who have come out and repudiated everything they've done here. Mm-hmm. And of course, they are immediately marginalized and demonized by the press and even by their fellow men, because there's money, money, and money tied to all this. Like you said earlier, follow the money. And so most of them don't care about what's right, like we do or should as Christian people. Mm-hmm. And so they're silent and allow this to go forward, even though they know that's a basket of lies that they're selling people on.
Yeah.
Medical societies are funded through big pharma, just like dental societies are funded by those who sell their fluoride to water companies, the you know, the waste chemicals that they use to fluoridate the water. So they're all compromised. Mm-hmm. All those medical, dental, health societies that are voluntary are compromised. And they're the one, for instance, a medical society has demonized those two doctors who came out and you posted their video based on an allegation that their math is wrong, which I'm too dumb in math because I went to government schools to know how to judge that. But I don't think that that was the main point of their, what they were saying anyway.
Right. That's how Snopes often repudiates anything that's good that's said, is they cherry pick a straw man comment out of what is said. And then they leave the impression that therefore everything they said wasn't correct, which is an absolute lie.
That's a propaganda technique. And Snopes is biased on the left. But I predict that 50, 100 years from now, historians will look back at this thing as the biggest fiasco, biggest farce in history, the stupidest tyranny ever perpetrated on humanity by a group of people. And our children's children are all also going to catch on to how money corrupted the Hippocratic Oath.
Yes. No, I agree with you 1,000% in that assessment. They'll have photographs of all the people with their masks on saying this is what they did. And isn't it funny how each generation thinks they're the smartest generation that ever lived, Roger and Jerry?
They're going to think, our children's children are going to think of us at this
point. Right, exactly.
Like we think of the phrenology in the 19th century, you know, reading your skull.
Right. They're all going to be saying, okay, boomer.
Right. How stupid were our ancestors?
Yes. The arrogance of man when he decides that he can, you know, reject God. And that is our biggest problem in America, is we have forgotten God.
Mm-hmm. We're coming on up on 55 minutes. Can we end this by you giving us two calls of action? First of all, give a call of action to pastors, and secondly, one to the rest of us.
Sure. To my fellow churchmen, I would simply say we have a duty in the sight of Christ to give the whole counsel of God's word. God's word does speak to all matters of life. It speaks to every matter of our life and to every matter of life. And we as his priests, as his churchmen, have a duty to give that full counsel to the people. We should not allow Christianity to be made this little sliver of pietisticness that we have seen Christianity become, where we only talk about how to get saved and prayer, you know, and have our 10,000th, let's study the Bible, but never act upon it, Bible study, you know, it's crazy. Mm-hmm. God's word does speak to all matters. We have a duty to speak about what he says regarding these things. That catches the ear of men so that they are more willing then to listen to the claims of Christ and to hear the words of the gospel when they see our behavior. I remember Amy Carmichael, who was a missionary to India. We've talked about India here. She went over to preach the gospel because that's their big thing, of course, just preach the gospel, which, of course, nobody just preaches the gospel. It's meant as a neutralizer to get you out of anything regarding, quote unquote, civil government matters. You know, and notice when the only time they bring it up that you should preach the gospel. Mm-hmm. Have you ever seen, you know, when they announce the next church potluck, someone jump up and say, wait a minute, we should just preach the gospel. Or when the when the church softball team is being organized, ever see someone go, nope, we should just preach the gospel. No, it's only when you bring up something like helping the preborn or defending marriage or helping some good candy or dealing with tyrants of massive strength regarding COVID-19 that suddenly, oh, we should just preach the gospel. So this is one of the slogans that they hide behind, is that we should just preach the gospel. Well, Amy Carmichael, when she got over to India, she realized there were these young girls who were being exploited as temple prostitutes. And as a Christian, she was like, I can't just ignore that. You know, I can't just pretend that isn't happening. And so she began to help these girls and help them escape temple prostitution. And writers, her supporters began to write to her and say, Amy, we sent you there to preach the gospel. Why are you getting all caught up with this temple prostitution thing? In her response, she wrote a great letter. And a line I always remember from the letter is this. She said, souls are more or less attached to bodies. God's law and word speaks to every area of life. She's like, how could I possibly, you know, think that people would take me seriously about Christ and the gospel if I ignore this? And what she learned was by ministering on behalf of these young girls and trying to help them escape this temple prostitution, many Indian people, that was what gave them, gave their attention to her so that they would listen to what she had to teach about Christ and the gospel and his law and his word. That's extreme. So that's what I have to say to the churchmen. Get out of your little, you know, moose club and all this nonsense that you've been bred to. It's like a hamster wheel. Me and my wife as Christian, me as a Christian minister, my wife as a pastor's wife, lived in that little hamster wheel, we call it, for years, where they keep you busy with a flurry of religious activity, but you're really never doing anything. You know, it's not like, you're not doing those things which are dear to God's heart. You're not confronting the evils, tyrants, and idols of your age. You're just off in this little corner having your little fuzzy spiritual game going on. And so, and to the people, I would say, you have a duty to study on your own. Don't depend on your churchmen. You have a duty to study on your own. And what I'm amazed at, we live in the, what we call the information age. And I always tell young people this because you always see them with the phone in their hand and they're always asking you questions. And I'm like, so, you know, if you want to learn more about that, you know, that little device that's in your hand, it's actually a great tool for research, you know, so you can actually use it for that rather than whatever other dopey stuff you're doing on it, you know, all the hours you have it in your hand. So it's extremely important to the people. And here's the other thing. The people better rise up. They better rise up because the vast majority of magistrates, I don't care what level they're at, federal, state, county, or local, are bought and paid for whores who will do the bidding of who's ever above them and whatever the rich guys tell them. That is exactly how they behave. The people must begin to realize that they no longer have the convenience of being indifferent to the unjust and immoral actions of their government. They must engage. And as Christian people, it's extremely important that we engage so that we instruct the magistrates in proper Christian thought regarding their office as magistrates. Those are my two exhortations.
Great. Well, Matt, thank you so much for joining us today. We'll let you go to your activity that you have planned. But I really appreciate you spending this time with us. This was great.
Always a joy. Thank you.
God bless you. I appreciate it. We're heading out to a busy area, and there's going to be probably 2,000 people there demanding our magistrates end this nonsense now. So that's where I'm headed to. God bless you.
And greetings to your family.
Bye-bye.
Bye.